An annual report ranks all 50 states and the District of Columbia by energy efficiency, and both Oregon and California are in the top 10 again. California is number 2 behind only Massachusetts, and Oregon is at number 9, a little slide from last year's ranking. If you're wondering, the bottom of the scale is Wyoming, with North Dakota just above it, both energy-producing states. Let's find out what goes into the rankings and how the state of Oregon assists. Two guests with us. Weston Berg is with the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy. He's senior research analyst and the principal author of the 2019 State Energy Efficiency Scorecard. Hi, Weston.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Michael Friels is with us as well. He's with the Oregon Department of Energy, which we'll probably talk to as ODOE a lot. He's an energy program analyst. Hi, Michael.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good to have you both here. Weston, let's start with you. Tell us a bit about the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy and how you pronounce your acronym and that stuff.
So I'm with, we call it ECEEE, the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy. We've been, we're a research nonprofit. We're based out of D.C., and we've been around for since 1980, going to celebrate our 40th anniversary really soon. We work on advancing energy efficiency in a whole variety of areas. We have about 50 or 60 folks that work with us. I work personally on our state policy team, but we also have folks working on federal policy, utility policy, buildings, as well as industry.
And the report's an annual thing?
Yes, we've been putting it out since 2006, so I think this is the 13th year we've done the report now.
What are some of the measures of efficiency, and have those changed over the years of the report?
So we look at 6 overall policy areas for each of the states. We look at utility and public benefit programs, transportation policies, building energy efficiency, as well as state government-led initiatives and appliance standards. And within those, there's about 30 or so different submetrics. We've been putting it out each year because really there's not per se a uniform national standard when it comes to energy efficiency. So it's really left up to the states in a lot of ways regarding how much they want to invest in efficiency and advance in efficiency throughout their policies. It has evolved over the years. We've, from the early years, it was more of a we were just kind of getting our legs underneath us, and over the years we've continued to add policies, and now we're starting to look more a little bit at electric vehicles. We'd like to look more at the existing building sector, and the paradigm for energy efficiency keeps changing, so we're always looking for ways to update the methodology.
As you look at state policy, I mean, obviously if you're California and you have a huge chunk of the population, you can affect things a lot, but you know, can states affect the energy usage as much as perhaps they'd like to?
There's a whole range of ways that states can impact energy efficiency and encourage businesses and consumers to save energy. One of the things that we always highlight are the states that have an energy efficiency resource standard. Those are the states that have an actual multi-year target for their utilities that require them to run programs to reach a certain amount of savings each year. And right now, about half of the states have one, Oregon included. But there's ways to update utility business models to help incentivize utilities to invest in efficiency. But then there's also, building energy codes, ways to set standards for saving energy in new and existing building stock, and a whole range of other things, too, that we look at in the report.
So Michael Friels of the Oregon Department of Energy, are these things that the state of Oregon does do through ODOE?
Yes, energy efficiency is a critical component of our Oregon policy. And so we have state programs. We work with our utilities. Utilities have a variety of programs. I'm sure certainly in your area you're familiar with, the city of Ashland, as well as Energy Trust of Oregon offers a variety of different programs. We impact building codes, both commercial and residential building codes to improve efficiency. We have standards, appliance standards that certainly improve efficiency. And we're always doing kind of market transformation efforts, trying to move new product or new building methods or whatever we can do to impact either the built environment or whatever we can do as far as efficiency of the transportation sector as well, getting more electric vehicles on the roads.
But it seems like that the average citizen of Oregon probably wouldn't have much interfacing with the department itself as it would with some of the programs you talked about, like the Energy Trust of Oregon or the local utility efficiency program.
Yeah, you're certainly right. Those utility programs do have quite a bit of outreach arm, and they're out into the communities and providing services, and they offer those incentives that are valuable to people if they're going to do some weatherization efforts, upgrade their windows, or put a little more insulation in their attic. They are going to go through those utility programs, and they do directly fund, and we're kind of, to be honest, we're behind the scenes and trying to do the best we can to promote energy efficiency and work with organizations like ACEEE, which we certainly appreciate all their efforts. What ACEEE does is creates kind of a benchmark and common ground across these states to look at energy efficiency efforts, and it's a great opportunity for us to take a look at those scores and look at what other states are doing and take a look at what we're doing and kind of reflect on that. And also, you know, I'd like to highlight, you mentioned that we had slid from 7 to 9, mm-hmm. but actually of the 13 years, we've always been in the top 10, and we're certainly really proud of that. And we want to remain there and continue to create new state programs or work with utilities so we can remain in that top 10, and we're excited about it.
The top 10 comes in the 2019 State Energy Efficiency Scorecard from ACEEE, the American Council for Energy Efficient Economy. Weston Berg is with us from ACEEE. He is the principal author. Michael Friels is with us as well. You just heard from the Oregon Department of Energy, where he's an energy program analyst. Both Oregon and California made the top 10 on the rankings. You can join us on the exchange, 800-838-3760 for questions or issues about energy efficiency, 800-838-3760. Or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Weston Berg, is there much movement from year to year? I mean, we talked about Oregon 7 last year, 9 this year. Is there a fair amount of shuffling up and down the rankings each year?
Yeah, we do see a lot of shuffling. In the top 10, there's also a lot of jockeying too for position. I think it's pretty normal. Oregon's been doing a lot this year with. Just the last couple of years, the governor's really been looking for ways to improve efficiency in buildings and looking at zero energy ready homes. And this year, I understand there was also legislation calling for increase in zero emission vehicles as well. So there's a lot of things that Oregon's doing. We do see a jumping around quite a bit. Maryland, for example, was our most improved state this year. They have a really strong energy efficiency resource standard to achieve among their utilities 2% savings as a percent of statewide sales, and they've been really ramping up. So they jumped quite a bit from, I think, 10th to 7th place this year. All across the board, we see states making improvements and learning from each other. And the scorecard's been a really great tool to help generate some friendly competition.
What will cause, for example, Wisconsin to surge 4 places up to number 25, and then Kentucky, for example, to drop 9 places?
Oh, well, yeah. For Kentucky, they are really a state that fell the most. And really, that's a result of their utility regulators allowing Kentucky Power to sort of essentially defund their programs. So they were one of the states that we saw fall quite a bit. So, yeah, it can be, you know, a question of priorities and leadership, and Kentucky kind of dropped the ball a little bit when it came to savings this year, particularly in their utility sector.
Michael Friels, the state puts out its own basis of comparison with the ACEEE report, the Biennial Energy Report, or BER, out last year. Some similar findings there, I see.
Yes, we certainly spent quite a bit of time on the Biennial Energy Report and want to highlight all the work that we're doing and also highlight what's happening in the state. And it's a good opportunity for all Oregonians, if they're curious about, when they're getting power, what that mix, what it's coming from. Is it coming from hydroelectric power or coal or natural gas? And it's a great way to educate people about the entire state and what's going on across the region with programs, utility programs, resources, and what's available in the state. And I think it's a good kind of comprehensive picture of kind of energy in Oregon, and not just on the kind of energy efficiency and generation side, but also safety and resilience, which are becoming more and more important, and certainly affordability. We put a lot of focus within our department on looking at our entire state and making sure we're serving all Oregonians, and what can we do for hard-to-reach customers or customers in kind of lower-income areas. Energy burden is certainly a concern within our state, and what I mean by energy burden is is that is our customers who are homeowners, our families, I guess I should say, that have a gross income that's 6% or more, 6% or more is their energy cost. And so, and that's not including transportation, just their electricity bills and gas bills and things like that. And we certainly want to make sure we're conscious of that. That a quarter of our population are considered energy burden. What are programs, what are initiatives or things we can do to take kind of the burden off a lot of Oregonians? And energy efficiency actually is a great consumer tool, consumer protection tool to do that. How can we lower their bills and certainly have them be able to have some of that disposable income to be using for other things, healthcare costs or whatever else they might need.
Now, one of the things that the BER points out, the Oregon report, is that Oregon's population and economy continue to grow. But what's happening to energy use?
Well, energy use is growing, but actually electricity, as it grows, energy efficiency is one of our greatest resources to take on that load. And looking to the future, 85% of load growth is going to be taken up by energy efficiency. And so what we want to do is do the best we can on the energy efficiency side so we don't have to increase our infrastructure or continue to build power plants or new renewable facilities. I mean, we certainly want to offset some of the power that's being generated, but our focus on that load growth is the majority of it is taken up by energy efficiency.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about energy efficiency as we look at the rankings of the states in the 2019 State Energy Efficiency Scorecard put out by ACEEE, the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy. The principal author, Weston Berg, is with us. Michael Friels joins us from the Oregon Department of Energy as well. And you can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Weston, how much unrealized potential is there, ways in which states could be gaining in energy efficiency, but they're not moving very fast to seize the day?
Yeah. So we also had recently put out just a month or so ago a report called Halfway There, and it shows a couple of my colleagues here worked on it, that energy efficiency could potentially, looking ahead, cut energy use and greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2050 across the country. And there's bottom line, it would really require a lot more investment in the achievable potential energy savings in a whole variety of areas. One of them is, I think Michael just had mentioned, electrification of homes and switching homes from kind of unregulated propane fossil fuels to the grid as it becomes cleaner. Also, smart buildings and homes, looking more at smart thermostats and more sophisticated systems to help manage people's consumption in a more intelligent way. And then also looking at zero energy buildings, basically tightening the building envelope, building homes to higher standards, and then meeting the sort of the remaining energy use through renewables, as well as industrial efficiency. There's a whole variety of things both on the horizon, and then also a lot of things that we're doing right now that other states could be doing better and learning from one another on.
Let's take a phone call here. John in Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Weston Berg and Michael Friels.
Hi. You mentioned the energy burden on households, including lower-income households, and there's been an increase in the base fees that most utilities charge. UEB is $23 a month or something, and our other local is $12 or $13. So I was wondering, is that included in your energy burden? And do you think it affects conservation? I usually pay more for base fee each month than I do for energy consumption. So is that base fee included in your energy burden calculations?
Okay, thanks for that question, John. Appreciate that. Why don't you take that one, Michael?
Yes, John, it is included. And so what we're doing is we're looking at that base fee. We're looking at the bills, the utility bills are of customers and taking a look at it. We're actually using our Housing and Community Services Agency within the state and taking a look at energy bill data across the region. And utility fees do vary depending on your different utility, but we are looking at that base fee as well as your use fee and what that expense is and how it compares to your average gross income. And because we certainly, you know, as you start increasing over 6%, we consider the energy burden that's too much. Your expense is directed towards energy, and so we want to reduce that as best we can. Whether that's creating utility programs or working with utilities to create more efficiency programs, more incentives for people to weatherize or improve their homes, or any other programs we can address, whether it's energy assistance or other things, we can address that burden and try to reduce it as best we can.
Does the report, Weston, get beyond energy efficiency into sources of energy? Does it, in other words, is it neutral on whether it comes from coal or whether it comes from wind, for example?
Yeah, I mean, we don't look at it at that as much. The report in itself is sort of fuel neutral. We do look more at we are getting more in looking at electric vehicles because on a net basis it is more efficient to run cars off the grid, especially when it's fed by renewable energy. But we don't look specifically at the energy mix of each state, whether it's like nuclear or hydroelectric per se.
And then Michael Friels, there was a reference that Weston made to things that the legislature did. What did the legislature do this year that would amp up Oregon's energy efficiency, if you'll pardon the expression, amp up?
Well, we've got a number of different programs going on right now. I know Weston kind of hit on the variety of different things that are going at either state programs, utility programs, and codes. Within our building code, our commercial code is just increasing right now on October 1st of this year, and our residential code is set to hit start up again next year, and there will be a new residential code it'll start October of 2020. And so both of those will be some of the highest energy codes within the nation. And we certainly think that'll have a positive impact on the built environment. And a lot of this is from Weston referenced Executive Order 1720 from Governor Kate Brown. And she has done quite a bit of work initiating legislation and executive orders for us to focus on the built environment, try to make things as energy efficient as possible. And so we're certainly putting a lot of focus on that.
Weston Berg, how do people use the scorecard? How should they use the scorecard?
Yeah, so we've gotten a lot of great feedback on the scorecard. So we generally use it as a tool to generate some friendly competition among states, but also we also have state one-pagers if folks aren't necessarily interested in reading the whole 200-page report. But it's basically kind of provides a sort of a gap analysis for states too to look at, out of the 30-odd metrics that we look at, what types of best practices do they have in place. What types don't they have in place that other states might have, and hopefully that generates some discussion and momentum in terms of maybe looking at adopting those types of policies. And we do get outreach from state energy offices, utility commissions, other advocates in energy efficiency to learn about how their state can do better, and we'll get in touch with them and give them some ideas and pull from best practices in other states, similar states, and try to give them some ideas about what might work for them.
All right. We'll take a couple more minutes here talking about energy efficiency with Weston Berg from ACEEE, which is the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy, and Michael Friels from the Oregon Department of Energy. You can join us on the exchange. Questions and comments are welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Weston, it seems like there is some weighting to the categories here. You mentioned this, the six categories up top of the discussion, but 20 points go for utility and public benefits programs and policies, of which Oregon gets 10.5, where California, for example, gets 15.5. What kinds of things go into that? What's Oregon leaving on the table, I guess, is the question.
So I'd say, in terms of the weighting of the categories, the way we kind of divide out and portion out points is based really off of achievable potential, and we've done potential studies in the past that look at which sectors have the most potential to deliver the most in terms of savings, and that's really why the utilities section accounts for such a large amount of points. There's just a whole lot that utilities can do in terms of delivering programs to their customers, whether they're weatherization or appliance rebate programs or other things. And transportation and buildings make up a big part too. Oregon's doing a really well across the board, and I think there's a lot of things that the governor that Michael just mentioned is working on, and we're looking forward to highlighting those as they kind of come to fruition. Yeah, I'd say a lot of the challenges that Oregon faces are kind of similar to other states in terms of, for example, there's a lot of rural efficiency customers, and it can be cost a little bit more on a cost basis to reach out to some of those folks. So, but it looks like Oregon has laid out a 10-year plan to try to address those types of issues. So we're looking to highlight those in the future as we continue to put out the scorecard.
And Michael, catch us up on where Oregon stands with promoting renewables and getting the benefits of those sources of electricity.
Well, we actually, there was a bill back to kind of what happened in the legislature. There is a new solar bill that passed, and so that will come into effect next year, and that's going to be a new incentive program for solar and can be used for renewables, and that will certainly generate some more kind of interest, and it'll be a contractor-driven renewable program that can certainly help with, I think, a quarter of the actually money allocated is for low-income customers or agencies or organizations that serve low-income communities. And so we're hoping that will certainly generate some more interest in solar. And we certainly continue to see growth within solar and within wind energy and have a variety of different programs. I think that's still a growth industry within Oregon, and we're doing really well there.
We have just a couple seconds left here, Weston Berg. What does Wyoming do or do not do to end up in last place with a score of 4.5 where Oregon gets a 32?
Yeah, you know, Wyoming has opportunities to improve really across the board in terms of, you know, building energy codes for construction, incentivizing more investment from the utilities and energy efficiency, as well as looking more at building a more sustainable, you know, transportation sector. So there's really a whole bunch of things across the board Wyoming could do.
A lot of stuff to look at online. If you'd like to go there, we do provide a link at jeffexchange.org. It's the 2019 State Energy Efficiency Scorecard from ACEEE, the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy. Weston Berg, senior author, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks.
Michael Friels from the Oregon Department of Energy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
This is The Exchange.